I'm glad you're here today. This morning we are thinking about, the sermon title is Payday or Birthday. They're different days, payday or birthday. Payday, we know what happens on payday. And if it doesn't happen, then there's a problem, isn't there? And we're generally not very accommodating if payday doesn't happen when it's supposed to happen. Birthday's different, right? We gather, and generally, depending on what age we are and how our family traditions are, we're blessed, and we receive gifts, don't we? Those are different days. Not difficult for us to understand the difference between payday and birthday. So we're going to be thinking about that and walking our way through the sermon this morning with that in the back of our minds. All four Gospels, the first four books in the New Testament, all four of them contain an account of the resurrection of Jesus. Those first four books in the New Testament, they're biographies of a sort. They tell the true story of the life of Jesus. And so four of them, all of them include the resurrection of Jesus. Those writers can't imagine telling the true story of the life of Jesus and leaving out the resurrection. It just doesn't make any sense. So all four of them do that. It's interesting. Did you know that there's only one miracle that's recorded in all four Gospels? Besides the resurrection, it's the feeding of the 5,000. Otherwise, each writer selects the material, and so they don't always choose the same material to share. And it is because Jesus' life was quite abundant. His teaching was quite abundant. His miracles and his power and all of that was quite abundant. And so there was more material to choose from than they could put orderly into a book and share it, particularly in the ancient world. So, with that in mind, I'm going to walk you through the account of Jesus rising from the dead, but I'm admittedly doing something a little different. I'm gathering all of the material from Matthew, Mark, and Luke and kind of synthesizing it into one thing this morning. And so you're welcome to try to use your Bibles as we get going, but because I've selected three gospel accounts and kind of merged them at the beginning, you're going to be best to probably just follow along with my screen, okay? And then once we get somewhere else, I'll give you a second to find some passages in your Bible. So we begin in Mark, but again, we're going to be bouncing around a little bit, so just track along with me. Now, when Sabbath was passed, we would say Saturday, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought burial spices that they might come and anoint him that would be Jesus' body. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, that would be Sunday morning, they and certain other women came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And behold, or suddenly there was a great or violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance, his appearance, that is, he shone like lightning, and his clothing or his robe was as white as snow. And the guards, that would be Roman guards assigned to protect the tomb to make sure that nobody stole the body of Jesus, because there was this little rumor floating around that he claimed ahead of time that he was going to rise from the dead. And we know nobody rises from the dead, so what we really need to do is just station some Roman soldiers there, let them know anybody comes and tries to take the body, just kill them. It's a pretty good motivator, right? That's going to keep people from doing that. So that's what they did. But these guards, they shook for fear of him, the angel. You're standing guard. You're expecting to fight humans who are coming to steal a body. And the earth violently shakes. Somebody descends from heaven. He shines like a human light bulb. Hey, we didn't sign up for this. Right? So, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. That is, they fell into a dead faint. And they, the women, said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door, the entrance of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Mark says, and entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were amazed. They were alarmed. They were shocked. Yeah, okay. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this that, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Now there's not just one angel, there's two. Another one's come. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, that is, the angels said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus. You're looking for Jesus who was crucified. Why do you seek the living among the dead? That is, why are you looking for the dead? Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. It is impossible to read the Bible and not discover, particularly the New Testament, that the Bible teaches that Jesus rose from the dead. Period. This is the Bible's teaching. This is the Bible's assertion. And in fact, when the good news of Jesus is preached, his resurrection is always included. In order to tell people who Jesus is, you have to tell them, hey, on top of everything else there is to say, he was crucified on a cross, he was buried, and then he rose from the dead. So in Acts, the first time the good news of Jesus was preached, Peter is finishing his sermon, and here's what he said. He said, David was looking into the future and speaking of the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that God would not leave him, that is the Messiah, among the dead or allow his body to rot in the grave. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Paul tells us these facts of the good news of Jesus. What are they? Well, here they are. Paul says, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. Now, we're starting with this assertion of the New Testament, and that is Jesus rose from the dead. Okay? Now, when you start trying to understand not just who Jesus is, but how he is the Savior, that is, when you try to understand the Bible as a whole, it is clear that all hopes of eternal life, all hopes of everlasting life, all hopes of heaven, all hopes of being sons and daughters of God, all hopes of being at peace with God forever, all these hopes are only possible if Jesus is risen from the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 14 and 17. These are our last two memory verses from the Easter season, this one and the previous one. Here's what they say. And if Christ had not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. And then this morning, the verse we're trying to memorize this month is, and if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. The verse we're going to focus on this morning, two passages, but the one we're going to spend the most time on, it's just one verse. It's Romans 6:23. Here's what it says. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift, the free gift of God, is eternal life in or through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, Romans 6:23 offers eternal life, heaven, everlasting life, being sons and daughters of God, being at peace with God, whatever language you want to use to describe it. Romans 6:23 offers eternal life to those who believe that Jesus is the hero of the whole human story. That's what that word Christ means. It isn't Jesus' last name, okay? It's a title. It's like saying president, okay? And what it means that Jesus is the hero of the whole human story. He's it. He's the hero. Okay? So, if you believe that Jesus is the hero of the whole human story and he deserves to be the king of your life, you'll receive a gift from God, and that gift from God is eternal life, everlasting life, peace with God forever, being sons and daughters of God forever. Everybody tracking with me? Heaven forever. So the point I'm trying to make is the reason that we can have any kind of conversation about heaven or eternal life or everlasting life or being sons and daughters of God or being at peace with God, the only reason that we can have conversations about those things is that Jesus rose from the dead. We can't have a conversation about heaven or everlasting life or eternal life or being sons and daughters of God if Jesus hasn't risen from the dead. We can't have the conversation. It's pure and utter nonsense. It's a pipe dream. That's how we would say it today. Makes just about as much sense as us having a conversation this morning about my being the center for the Indiana Pacers. Now, we've got that. That's the foundation. Now I want to teach you something. Think with me. Try to be honest with yourself. I'm not asking you out loud, okay? I just want you to think with me this morning. Why do you think you should go to heaven? Why do you think that God should accept you? Why do you think that you should have peace with God? Why do you think that you should get to be a son or daughter of God? Why do you think that God should give you eternal life or everlasting life? Why do you think God should approve of you? In general, every version of the answer to these questions falls into one or two categories. One or two categories. There's a story that Jesus told. It's in Luke 18. We'll read the story and we're going to listen for two different categories to the answer to these questions. Why do you think you should go to heaven? Why do you think God should accept you? Why do you think you should have peace with God? Why do you think God should adopt you as His son or His daughter? Why should God give you eternal life or everlasting life? Why do you think God should approve of you? Two categories. Listen for the categories. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer: I thank you, God, that I am not like other people. Cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I certainly am not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow. Not in celebration, in sorrow. Saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner." I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. All right, think about our question. I'm going to ask it a couple of times. I want us to get this. Why do you think you should go to heaven? Why do you think God should accept you? Why do you think you should have peace with God? Why do you think God should adopt you as His son or His daughter? Why do you think you should go? Why do you think God should give you eternal life or everlasting life? Why do you think God should approve of you? We find two categories here, don't we? One of them is merit. Merit. It's the idea that I've taken the test and I've gotten an A, so you give me my A. Merit. It's what the Pharisee says. He says, God, I'm not like everybody else. They might be sinners. They might be adulterers. They might be cheaters. They might be like this tax collector and traitor and sorry, but I'm not. I fast twice a week and I tithe. I am God. I'm a good guy. Merit. And then this other guy comes in. He's a tax collector. He comes in. He is covered with shame. He kind of hides in it. We don't have columns in this church, but some of the big churches I've gone to, they have. He's behind the column. Nobody even knows he's there. He won't even look up at the ceiling. That's too arrogant. He can't do that. He's looking at the ground, and he's just pleading with God. And the only thing he can say is, "Oh God, please have mercy on me, for I'm a sinner." It's clear. We got one by his theme is merit. The other guy's theme is mercy. They're different. So you ask the Pharisee, why do you think you should go to heaven? Why do you think you should be a son of God? Why do you think you should have everlasting life? Why do you think that you should be that God should favor you and accept you and approve you? Merit, he says, merit. But the tax collector in the back behind the column, you know him, he says it'll have to be mercy. It'll have to be mercy. Here's what merit says. Merit says, why do I think I should go to heaven? Why do I think God should accept me? Why should I have peace with God? Why should I be a son or daughter of God? Merit says, I deserve it. I've earned it. I'm worthy of it due to the kind of person I am. And here's God's response. No, you don't. No, you haven't. And no, you aren't. That's bad, isn't it? When you make an argument and God says, I don't like any of it, that's bad. Here's mercy. Here's the mercy answer. I do not deserve it. I have not earned it. I'm not worthy of it due to the kind of person I am. But God, would you let me have it anyway? And God's response, you're correct. And yes, I will. All right, let's keep moving along. Again, here's our questions. Here's what we're thinking about. Why do you think you should go to heaven? Why do you think God should accept you? Why do you think that you should have peace with God? Why do you think God should adopt you as a son or a daughter? Why do you think He should give you eternal life, everlasting life? Why do you think God should approve of you? Again, two categories. We're going to give them different names, but they're the same categories. Romans 6:23. If you want to open your Bible and find this, that's great. If you don't, I'm going to keep it up on the screen, okay? For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in or through Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus our Lord. So here are our categories. Wages or gift? Wages or gift? They're different, aren't they? We understand the difference, wages and gift. Right? So wages, what are wages? Looking at the verse. Wages are something you have earned by working. They're something you deserve to receive, and they're something that someone else is obligated to pay you. That's what a wage is. So what you have earned and what you deserve and what you're obligated to be paid as a result of you being a good sinner and me being a good sinner. That is accomplished. You just said something unkind about me. Okay, well, that may be, but it's true. So we'll settle for true this morning, and then you can be offended later, okay? In fact, if it makes you feel any better, I'm pretty sure that I'm a better sinner than you are. If you want to compare notes after the service, we can. Sin is what happens anytime that we tell God no. Sin is what happens anytime we tell God no. Sin is thinking something that God doesn't want us to think. It's saying something that God doesn't want us to say, and it's doing something God doesn't want us to do. So the wages of sin is death. You say, Brother Ricky, I don't know. Maybe I am a better person than you. Maybe this doesn't apply to me because I'm not a sinner. Well, the Bible says we all are. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. So here's what that means. That means you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Billy Graham, he's a sinner. Your favorite saintly grandmother, bad news, she's a sinner too. All sinners. Are you sure? She was really nice. Nope, she's a sinner too. I know, I've had one of those, so I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. Okay. Now, wages, sin, and then death. I'm doing this quickly, and I'm not saying everything that can be said about all of this. I'm just trying to help you, okay? But death in the Bible is being treated like God's enemy forever. It's being punished by God as God's enemy forever. That's what it is. So if you want to be treated like God's enemy forever, that's what you have earned. That's what you deserve. That's what you're obligated to receive as a result of being a sinner. That's one way of responding to this question. Wages. I want my wages. Okay? The other side, though, is this gift business, right? But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, a gift is really an easy concept. This is not hard, okay? All of us have received gifts. The easiest way to remember this is back when you were a little kid and you didn't have any way of paying for the things that were given to you. In my life, it happened often. But it certainly happened on my birthday. And it happened at Christmas, sometimes Easter, sometimes there were other reasons that I got a gift. But my parents paid for something, and then they gave me that something, and I didn't have to pay for it. I remember one particular gift that I was given. Dad came home, and he just casually, aloofly said, "Son, there's a box of stuff from the office in the back seat of my car. I want you to go get it, bring it inside." Now, I understand that some of y'all are in a new age, but when I grew up, you didn't have conversations with parents. They said things and you did them. And so it's a different world, and I understand even with my own kids, we do things different. So, "Yes, sir," is the way you responded to that. And I thought I was going to get a box of files out of the back seat of my dad's company car. So I went out there and I opened up the box, and there was this box. It was about this long, and it was green, and it had the word Remington written on it. Well, now, there ain't a much better box in all the world than a box this long that's green, it's got Remington written on it. And so what did I do? I took that box inside, hoping that that thing was mine. And I came inside and I said, "Is this the box you're talking about?" And he said, "Yeah." "You want to open it?" "Yes, sir." I never once thought about asking Daddy how much that Remington cost. I still have that Remington. I got that when I was, I don't know, maybe 11, 12 years old. It was a gift. Mom and Dad paid for it. I didn't have to pay for it. They just gave it to me. So a gift is something good that the receiver does not pay for. And in this case, God is the giver of the gift. You and I get to be the recipients. How do we receive? We receive it by what? By believing that Jesus is the hero of the whole human story, and that as such, he deserves to be my king. And that's the way I receive this gift from God. Now, what is this gift? This gift is eternal life. It's everlasting life. It's peace with God forever. It's being a son or daughter of God forever in heaven. It's life after death. It's heaven. It's being treated like one of God's children forever. So here are our questions. We're going to think through it one more time. Stay with me. Why do you think that you should go to heaven? Why do you think God should accept you? Why do you think you should have peace with God? Why do you think God should adopt you as his son or his daughter? Why do you think God should give you eternal life or everlasting life? Why do you think God should approve of you? Is your answer mercy? Or is it merit? Is it wages? Or is it gift? Heaven, eternal life, everlasting life, peace with God, being a son or daughter of God. This is only available as a gift from God to those who believe. Jesus is the hero of the whole human story and therefore deserves to be king. You don't have enough merit. I do not have enough merit. If I insist on getting my wages, I will be disappointed, because what I have earned is to be treated like an enemy of God, punished as an enemy of God. But this morning, we are here because that is not the end of the story. God has raised His Son, Jesus, from the dead. He is the hero of the whole human story, and He deserves to be king. And God grants as a gift eternal life, everlasting life, His approval, victory over death, being a son or a daughter of God, peace with God. He grants all of that as a gift, without charge, without fee, free to those who embrace His Son. Okay. I want to finish with an image, a picture. Okay? Payday. Everybody knows about payday. We know it's coming. It has to come. If it doesn't come, we can't pay our car note. We can't pay our house bill. We can't pay our electricity. We can't go to the grocery store. Payday has to come. If payday doesn't come, we get angry. We get an attorney. You are going to give me my wages. Some of us are a bit more redneck and tempted to do other things that don't involve an attorney. Payday is my day, and when payday comes, I'm going to get mine. That's a payday. Birthday's different. Birthday's cake and ice cream and friends, and depending on what age you are, gifts, maybe just cards. But there are things there that people are giving to you, you know you don't have to pay for. It's a gift. Lots of them. It's a birthday. Okay, listen. When you think about my questions this morning, when you think about heaven, when you think about eternal life, when you think about everlasting life, when you think about peace with God, when you think about being a son or daughter of God, are you thinking about a payday, or are you thinking about a birthday? One more time, listen to me. When you think about heaven, when you think about eternal life, when you think about everlasting life, when you think about peace with God, when you think about being a son or daughter of God, are you thinking about a payday, or are you thinking about a birthday? Let's pray. Father God, guide every person present, every person listening, by Your Spirit as they consider this question down deep in their hearts. May they receive heaven, eternal life, everlasting life, peace with You, life as a son or daughter of Yours forever as a gift from You through Your Son Jesus, the hero of the whole human story, and therefore the rightful king of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.